How many's ever prayed and nothing happened? Well, it's not actually true. Something happened. You know what happened? If you really prayed in faith, prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got it clear. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. I do not say that I shall pray for you. He's in a high priestly ministry interceding for us that we can have a relationship with the Father. They were not using their faith except in Jesus taking care of things when they were in a storm and Jesus is calmly sleeping. And he kept on sleeping. And it bugged them. When you need somebody to talk to that storm and you're about to sink if they don't, and it seems like God is aloof, Jesus is asleep, you go and shake him. You wake him up. What's up? What's going on? Master? They were mad. They were upset. They were discouraged. They were disappointed. Don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? First thing they questioned, was it his power to do something about it? They questioned, did he love them enough? Don't you care that we perish? Biggest lie the devil will ever tell you, if a prayer isn't answered in a timely fashion according to your time, if it isn't answered because God has something else he wants to do, or wants to take you through instead of take you from, the big lie the devil is going to tell you is that God doesn't love you enough. If he loved you enough, he would do something about this. He just doesn't love you enough. And he gets you doubting God's love for you. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, thy hasid. It's a strong Hebrew word. It's not just a generic love and a human kindness. This is a God kind of divine love that he sets upon his people. It's undeserving, therefore it's unconditional. It is conditional to receive the benefit of it, that we repent of our sin, receive Christ as our Savior. But as far as him loving enough to give his Son while we were yet in our sins, yes, he did. In that sense, it is unconditional. We can split hairs over that. I want to balance it out. If you doubt his love, I doubt you are going to pray with faith, because you just don't believe that he loves you enough. Master, don't you care that we perish? He says, where's your faith? Now, he didn't expect them at that point of spiritual development or anything else to go out there and talk to the wind and the sea. I'm not sure that we have that kind of authority anywho. People who say they have ought to go to St. Jude's. And all those kids that are being treated, they ought to command the cancer out of every one of them. You can't use your faith, no matter how highly developed, arbitrarily. Jesus didn't use his faith arbitrarily. He had all faith. Amen. And he said, the works that I do are not mine to do arbitrarily. They're not mine. I'm not making this decision. Who I'm going to touch, who I'm going to heal, what I'm going to say. The works I do are not mine, but what I see my Father do. The words that I speak are not mine, but what I hear my Father say. He's working under the authority of the Father. Even though he was very God, there's a hierarchy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they work in concert. Amen? If you doubt God's love for you, you're in deep trouble. But the good news is you can get out of that trouble. If you will accept by faith that is so hard for many people to accept. The Bible said we have known in 1 John, we've known and believed. You have to receive this by faith. You know it by revelation, first from the Word of God. Then when you receive it by faith, you know it by realization in your personal life. I was preaching something. It was pretty deep. For me, it was deep. It may not be deep for you, but I had hip boots on while I was preaching it. I mean, deep, deep stuff. And I remember preaching to Pamela over here, and I said something about what I was preaching that was so alive in me. And she said, "But you have the revelation." And I thought, "Yeah, I do. And I'm trying to give it to you." Amen. I didn't tap her on the head. I know Mike is laughing. He knows I got to go home, and he's going to pray. He's going to pray earnestly. But you know, I appreciated what she said. I assume everybody in the building can see what I'm seeing. Everybody don't see it yet. But God wants you to see it. And giving you a scripture without a revelation by the Holy Spirit so that it drops from where? Your head to your heart. That's when the word, the seed of the word, germinates and begins to grow, and faith is the fruit. Amen. Faith is the fruit. And it's not about the promise initially. It's never about the promise. Too many people go and try to stand on the promise when they really haven't had a personal revelation of the person. And if the person isn't trusted wholeheartedly, the promise cannot be stood upon. I'm standing on the word. Seriously? What do you know about God? He watches over his word to perform it. Can you say amen? And he loves you enough to make a promise to you concerning the needs of your life. And it's all motivated by love for you. So the logic of the cross, which is one of my favorite things that I repeat over and over to myself, to anybody who will listen, is Romans 8 and verse 32. If he loved us enough to offer up, it's sacrificial language, to send Jesus to be a sacrifice lamb on the cross in our behalf, to hear him cry, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which being interpreted on the cross in the Aramaic was, my God, Eloi, Eloi, why hast thou forsaken me?" In the blessing, it said God turned his face toward you. But somehow, mysteriously, while Jesus was on the cross, the Father couldn't look upon the sin. He's too holy to look upon the sin that was being transferred to him. It was a spiritual transaction, but it was very real. And he turned his face away, and when he did, Jesus said, "Where are you?" In Pilate's hall, he said, everybody forsook him. He said, "But Father, you're with me. You're with me." But that's not how he died on the cross. He died the death of a lost sinner, though he never sinned. He didn't need to be born again in hell. He wasn't the first born again man. He was God in flesh. He never sinned. No way hell had any claim on him. For he will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. You know, if you read your Bible, these yahoos, Brother Venable, you're calling my favorite preacher a yahoo. Well, it's a good chocolate drink. Oh, no, that's a yoo-hoo. Okay. Okay, just so we're clear here today. I thought I was complimenting that yahoo by calling him a yoo-hoo. That's what I should have called him. I mean, it's ridiculous. You read the Bible. Just read the book and check me out. One day you're going to judge angels. And you're going to if an angel showed up today behind this pulpit, before I would let him have this microphone, well, he wouldn't need it. He could, you know, big booming voice, glistening, robes, white apparel. But when he starts talking, it's another gospel. It's another gospel. even if an angel come and declare you another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be under the curse of God. Don't listen to him. Don't receive him. Reject him wholeheartedly. So if we're going to judge angels, we need to start checking preachers out, prophets out, apostles out. Whoever is bringing the word needs to be subject to the word. I am subject to the word, and therefore I'm subject to you. If you bring the word to me and there's a conflict, I want to be subject to the word. Don't just take it because I said it. Listen carefully. Let's get back into this love thing. We've known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. The logic of the cross is clear in Romans 8:32. If he loved us enough. If he loved us enough. We got to settle it at the cross. You got to settle the issue at the cross. You got to outgrow your feelings. I don't feel the love of God. It's not something you feel initially. It's something you believe because of what he did to prove it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For he so loved, and if he loved us enough to offer up his only son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? After the cross, concerning those who have trusted Christ, he hath. It's not like he's holding something back that we need. He's provided in Christ for anything we would possibly ever need, and it's to be received by faith. He hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need to live a life pleasing to God and fulfilling to us. Oh, God don't want to just put you in a box. He doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to compromise. But holiness is not a box he puts you in so you can't enjoy life. I want to enjoy my life better than any sinner in the world without partaking of sin in order to do it. I want to get drunk on the Spirit and in the Spirit. I want to find joy in things that are simplistic and may not seem much. People are looking for something in the world to satisfy. I want to represent a satisfaction. He hath given me everything I need to live my life pleasing to him and fulfilling to me. He that hath the Son hath life. Praise God. And I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Now, the people who are in that get-rich gospel, it's all about riches and wealth. They don't put it in the context of Jesus' words that said, and a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So the abundant life can't be about things that you possess, but something that is more precious than anything that you could possibly possess. One of those things is peace. Look at Bill Gates. He's lost his marriage. He's been associated with a pedophile and a marketing, you know, sexual marketing people. Killed himself or was killed in prison. So now he's labeled. He's a multi-billionaire. Look at his face if you see him. He looks like a tired, weathered, old man that is unfulfilled. The Bible says it, there is no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But great peace have they who love your law. Blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor walks in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by a river of water, and will not cease from yielding his fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. Get in the Word. Get the Word in you, but don't just get it in your head. Stop when you get something that kind of stumps you. And Selah, you find it in the Psalms, Selah. And since it was to the chief musician, part of that was, pause right here. Don't just go on to the next verse. Pause right here. Sit down and quietly contemplate what was just said. Selah. 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 When you read about the love of God and the cross, stop. Stop. Don't just go on to the promises. Stop at the person. If you get a trust relationship in the person and you don't doubt His love for you, how excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings. Is it His power or His person? They know He has the power. That's usually a given. That's the easiest part of faith. He has all power in heaven and earth. Will He use that power to help you in the time of need or trouble? That's not a question either. If He loved us enough to give us His Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? That shouldn't be an issue either. The issue is, will you believe Him? Will you trust Him? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God, imperative, must believe that He is, and, everybody say, and, boy, you're a good crowd today. This is going to be fun. Hallelujah. And He is what? Sister Venable, help me preach.
And He's a rewarder. Say that. No now. Strings attached.
He's a rewarder. He responds. He hears our cry. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a great God. He's a giving God. Hallelujah. He's a lifting God. He's a listening God. They must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. The devil is counting on us giving up on Him, not seeking Him. How are we to seek Him? Until we're done? No. The Bible says, seek Him till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Seek Him until He comes. Now, we're not talking about the coming of Jesus. We're talking about when He manifests the answer, when He comes to manifest the answer. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning somewhere around verse 32, but you have need of patience. Look at somebody and say, you do too. Amen. You do. You do too. We all do. That's not take a number and sit down and be passive. It's an active term. Amen. Hallelujah. I see sibling rivalry is going on in here. Even an in-law gets it just like your sister gets it, right? Okay. We all have need of patience, but the word is perseverance. Seek Him till He come, not until you become impatient and give up, because you'll wind up accusing Him of unfaithfulness. We have people that are unstable. The Bible said that let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth are like the waves of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man expect to receive anything, because that double-mindedness today, I'm trusting God, I'm quoting Scripture, I'm believing God, but whoops, a problem came. The pressure came. I prayed. I'm still under the pressure. Grace isn't enough. I want the pressure relieved. And if it isn't, then I question, does He really exist? And if He exists, does He really care? Does He really care? Does He really care? We've known and believed the love that God has for us. And He didn't just tell us. He gave us His Son. And Jesus gave His life on the cross. We've got to grow up enough in God to not let our emotions, our own human thinking, overrule and override what Jesus has done on the cross. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you. There's a lot of tangents we can get off in. But I'm going to center on one thing. I don't want to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. Because from what He's done for me on the cross, everything in my life, everything that pertains to life and godliness has been provided. So I want to stay focused on the person who died for me and the person who gave Him to die for me. Praise God. We've known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. He that feareth is not perfected in love. Now, when I first saw that, I thought, I don't love God perfectly enough for Him to help me. No, it's not about my perfect love for Him. It's about His perfect love for me. In fact, His perfect love for me stimulates my love for Him. We love Him because the commandment says, thou shalt love. Now, God doesn't apologize for that. He deserves that kind of love. He demands it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, spirit, strength, everything you are and everything you have. Nobody ever loved Him like that. I almost heard a cricket. Did you hear a cricket somewhere in the corner? Nobody ever loved Him like that. Somebody said, I don't steal, I don't cheat, I got all the commandments down. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You know what He does to get us to keep that commandment? We love Him. Cause and effect. Reciprocal love. Reciprocating love. We love Him because He first loved us. Loving Him starts with receiving His love to us by faith. Not just blind faith, but faith that sees the cross and the man on it. And said, if He loved me enough to give His Son, and He loved me enough to stay on the cross till my sin debt was paid in full. I love Him for that. Lord, I love You. I love You. I love You. There's a couple came to our church years ago. They were in their 80s. And they lived in a mobile home park. And they had a clubhouse. They held a church service on Sunday morning. Man and his wife. She played the piano. And they sang together. And they sang a little off key. And they didn't sing with any kind of hallelujah to inspire anyone. But they sang from their heart out of a deep love and devotion to Jesus. And they were not singing to the audience like many performers do on platforms on Sunday morning. They were singing to Him. And they sung a simple song. I don't even know the verses, but I know the chorus. I never forgot it because I felt very close to God and to Christ when they sang. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus is precious. Jesus is precious. Jesus is precious to me. Oh, my heart was welling up with praise. I just wanted to reach out to the Lord and love Him back for the kind of love that He loved us with. Paul said it. He looked at an audience that still hadn't got it yet, and he said, what? Don't you know you're the sons of God? Don't you get it? Don't you get it? If we don't love Him like that, we won't put our trust in Him. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. We don't receive that love by faith. We won't trust in Him. We won't hide where He's calling us under the shelter and covered of His wings. We love Him because He first loved us. When you pray, You have his ear because you have his heart. The foundation for your faith is not just standing on the inerrant eternal word because it's the inerrant eternal word. It's because of the person who spoke that word, who inspired that word, who watches over it to perform it. You've got to know the person. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And immediately people think promise. Find a promise. Find a promise. No. Faith doesn't start with a promise. A promise is what you release your faith in. But faith cometh. Everybody say faith cometh. By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And in the word of God there is a revelation of God and a revelation of Christ. That's where faith starts. And it's released not that I'm standing on the word. No, it's released in praying in faith. Whatever you ask, you have not. Not because you're not standing on the word or have no. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you just want to consume it on you. I asked the Lord to let me stay a while longer after a stroke 12 years ago to take care of my family. And if there's anything I could do for anyone in terms of preaching the gospel, to continue to use the strength I have and the time I have to do that. God has been gracious to me. Went in Publix, checked my blood pressure just to see where I stood. I mean, you know, if it's 225 over 195, I might consider getting checked out. In fact, I would head for the ER amen, before I explode. Anyway, yeah, up here. Yeah, you can blow a gasket up here. Head gasket. All right. 117 over 77. Wow. I thought, that's good. That's good. I'm not under medication. Mercy. Grace. If it ain't broke. When I pray for the sick, I'm praying in faith because I'm walking in it. Amen? I'm not lording it over anybody. I'm telling you, God's been good to your preacher, and it's not just my faith. I've asked you to pray for me. How many's ever prayed for me? Well, I just want you to know it's working. Don't stop. And to those of us here that struggle with praying because we feel inadequate and we feel that we're not at that level of faith. Listen, have faith in his love for you initially. Before you start trying to believe him for this, that, and the other, believe him because he sent his son and the son stayed on the cross until it was accomplished in your behalf. Hallelujah. How excellent. How excellent. There's this reciprocating love and reciprocating trust, reciprocating faith. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. That's what they knew about him. Your hasid, your divine love. Mercy flows from that love. Grace flows from that love. A response, a rewarder of them that seek him. When you seek for me with all your heart, you will find me. Is that making it hard and difficult? God is hiding and say, if you fast till you thin enough they can stick you through a keyhole, you might find me. No. Amen. No. If you read the Bible and nothing else for a solid month and you just keep your head stuck in the book, that's going to make you worthy? No. What makes you worthy of anything is what was established after the cross. We don't have a high priest because of that divine agape love that cannot be touched personally, deeply, with the feeling of our infirmities. That's not a, that sickness is under the umbrella, disease is, but your weaknesses, say my weaknesses, God knows them. And He loves you anywho. God knows all about you and He loves you anyhow. Thank you, Jesus is right. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're tempted in all points. Everybody say three. You'll have to get that message. I don't want to preach it again this morning. Hallelujah. All points as we are yet without sin. He didn't have to be born again because He never sinned. He never ceased to be God on the cross. He never ceased to be God. Amen. At any point. Thank God He didn't. I'm glad He didn't become just like us, or He couldn't help us like He is a help to us. Hallelujah. I don't want Him down here with me. I want Him high and lifted up. So when I'm down in the dumps and I'm down in the hole, that He can reach way down and pull me out. Praise God. I want Him up on top of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. Under the shadow of Thy wings. I'm going to do this so we can hurry. I'm going to close this outline. Obviously, we're not going to this one. You're going to get it next week. Please come anyway. It's good. This is good to get. A lot of Christians have been in church for years. They don't get it yet. The first thing they do is question His love. We even have Christians who question His existence. I mean, if you just let your flesh do the talking to you, God is a spirit. So you don't always feel Him or sense Him. Thank God for the times when you do, but your faith is not based on whether you do or whether you do not. And the fact that you don't feel lovable, well, you probably aren't all that lovable. I mean, I love you. Most of you. I love all of you. But I love you with the love of the Lord. Because there is a love. It's divine. It's agape. It's the God kind. It's not the human kind. I love you until you fail me. I love you till you disappoint me. I love you till I don't. Amen. And then I don't no more. I unfriend you. You know why I got off of Facebook? I was only on there about 3 or 4 weeks. Because I didn't want to unfriend anybody. I wanted to be friends with everybody. And that's impossible. Because I'm not perfect. Shock and awe. What? No. I just got off. I don't have time, and I don't want to feel like I unfriend you because, you know, you're just wasting my time. I mean, what if I responded, cast not your pearl before swine, called you a pig? You would unfriend me, right? I unfriend you. See, I wouldn't have to unfriend you. You'd unfriend me. Isn't that right? Cast not your, is swine a pig? Okay. Jesus said, listen, don't waste your pearls on pigs. Not only don't they appreciate what you're offering, but they'll bite you. They're expecting something for their flesh. You're giving them something for their soul. They're expecting something for their temporal well-being. You're giving them something to help them throughout eternity. And they'll rend you. They'll bite you. So I just said, you know, I don't have time. My focus is on, I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and Him crucified. Had a guy wanted to bring a prophet. You got to hear this prophet. I thought, no, I don't. Unless God sends him, I don't have to care. Because you say he's a prophet. I don't know if he's a prophet. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he believes. And he ain't going to preach for me unless I do. I'm never disappointed. I was one time, but I got over it. Amen. When they called me to preach, and the night I was supposed to preach up in North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever we were. Amen. Near Charlotte, about 50 miles from Charlotte. I was supposed to preach in a Church of God because it says Holy Church of God. They assumed I was a Church of God minister, and one of the people in that Church of God played a tape from our ministry, and he said, I got to have him come and speak for me. And they called me to come, and my wife and I said, it's a good chance to get up in the mountain area and get a vacation. I get to preach up there. So we took off for South Carolina, rented a car to go. Oh, God's blessing us back and forth. Went down to Sears down here, you know, one of these malls where there's a budget rent a car. Went in, had reserved a medium car, you know, comfort, a little comfort, not a little car. And when I got there, they said, they're all rented out, sir. And my heart just dropped. I thought, boy, I'm going to have to get in a little bitty car and drive all those miles. And I'd asked for a medium car, and I was disappointed. And they said, well, all we got is a Lincoln Town Car. If you don't know what a Lincoln Town Car is, it's a big, long, luxurious leather, rides like you're on a cloud. You can do 85, and it feels like you're doing 35 in that sucker. I know. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know. Let me tell you a trick. I quit doing that because I feel convicted a little bit. I prayed about it, and I feel a little convicted. But you, if I'm doing 85 and a car comes around me looking at me like, get out of the way, old man. You know, I think I'm doing 85 here. Don't, you know, but what I do, I drop back behind them and let them go. And I let them get way ahead of me, and I set my pace with them until I see their brake lights come on. They're running 90 and their brake lights come on. It wasn't a rabbit crossing the interstate. It was a popo hiding it. Amen. They will hide. And when I see their brake lights come on, I just take it off cruise control. Oh, and here's another trick. Don't hit your brake lights. It's like saying, I'm guilty, come and get me. Amen. Just pull it down in one gear and let it gear down. Yeah, I know it. Don't. I don't do it anymore. See, I told you, I learned. And then as I go by that underpass, coming out from under it is the popo. And he's got his blue lights flashing, his siren on, and just a little ways down the road, he pulls them over. He's going to write them a ticket, and I'm hanging back. Saying, you're a merciful God. I don't deserve this grace, but thank you for it anyway. Can you say amen? Thank you anyway. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've done that many times anyway. And I quit because I think one of these days the Lord is going to say, you know something, you're pushing it. So I don't do that anymore. 75, 5 miles an hour. Hey, come on. Give me a break. Unless I'm in Temple Terrace. Watch out here. They get you. They got me one time years ago. We don't have a high priest that isn't touched. Why? Because he loves you. And there is a love that covers a multitude of sins. That it's not a cover-up for sin. It's actually false. Your infirmities, your weaknesses. There is a love. And it's not human. It's agape. It's not philos. Philadelphia. Look what's happening in Philadelphia. I don't know what happened to Philadelphia. I know what's happened to the world, so it includes. You know why they named it Philadelphia? Philos. It's the Greek word for a human love, brotherly love to one another. Philos, Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. It's hard to find that. You won't find it in Philadelphia, so don't pack up. You'll get mugged, carjacked, killed, robbed. Listen, like every other big city. But here's a place we need to find it. That's in God's house among God's people. Can you say amen? Let brotherly love continue. And there is a love that doesn't look at my faults and your faults. There is a love that reaches out to us in spite of that. There's a scripture that says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That means there is a love that's beyond familial love. I went to used car lot with my dad. He was looking at a 56 Chevrolet, two-tone. Man, we couldn't afford it, but we were looking at that sucker. And a guy come out, and he said, listen. He said, and my uncle was with us, my Uncle Shorty. You know why we called him Uncle Shorty? Because he was short. Venable family short. I'm one of the big ones. Family gathering. Look like bowling pins. Brother Taylor, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's the truth. And he said, I wouldn't. We looked at some other car that was cheaper. He said, I wouldn't sell that to my brother. And you know how much you hate your brother. And I thought, what? You hate your brother? You hate your brother? This is family. How many families are so fragmented and so messed up, and the family of God is no exception? It ought to be. Because there is a love that makes up for the faults and failures that if we're around each other, we're going to see them in each other. It's hard to be humble when you're as perfect as me. That's a t-shirt, friend. That's not real. But God's love is. So never judge His love by how many people will unfriend you. Just like that. Quit you. Christian, quitting each other. How did that happen? Hand doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. So the belly wants some food, and it's in the fridge. And we're part of the same body. And the hand says, I'm going to go over there and get me some food to put in my belly. And the foot says, how are you going to get over there? I wish there was that kind of love in the body of Christ. We used to sing. Gerald used to lead it, remember? Bind us together, Lord. And you know what I saw? Baleen wire. Bind us together with something so strong we can't break out. No, let us begin to grow in God enough that we love each other to such a degree that we quit picking on each other. Be ye kindly hearted to one another. Forgiving? Why don't we just unfriend that sucker and get rid of him? Forgiving one another. Why? Because they're so sweet, they've asked for forgiveness, they've humbled themselves, they've groveled before you. No. Even as agape love, even as God, for only one reason, forgives you. Even as God for Jesus' sake. Not for goodness' sake, but for God's sake. For Christ's sake. Has forgiven you. That becomes a real issue. Because if we don't walk in that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we need Him to move freely. Mightily. What would happen if he was unquenched and not grieved in the body of Christ, a Holy Ghost move of God would occur. Amen? Amen. There's no doubt about it. I'd have no greater joy than to hear that the brethren dwell together in unity. What is unity like when we're unified like that? It's like the oil that was poured over Aaron's head, ran down his beard, and dripped from his garment. That's an unquenched, ungrieved Holy Spirit move of God. Amen? And we need it. But we're going to have to start loving enough to forgive. And listen, if you don't receive the love in your life, how can you be loving to somebody else? Because you're supposed to love them as yourself. And you don't even like yourself. Now there's a self-love that's inordinate, that's of the flesh. But you're to love your neighbor as what? As yourself. If you don't like yourself, how are you going to love them? I don't like myself. Well, God loves you. God loves you. Don't mirror yourself by the culture. Don't mirror yourself by other people. I don't have an inordinate love of myself. Self-love is the root of all the sins we see in the last day. But I'm comfortable in my skin. I don't hate anyone. I've forgiven everyone. And sometimes I just have to think, is there anybody that snuck into a corner of my life that I still have a problem with and haven't forgiven? If there is, Lord, show it to me. Search me and see if there's some unclean way. Because I want to be right with you. I want my prayers answered. I want the Holy Ghost to be unleashed. Hallelujah. And unchained and unencumbered by my attitude. I want my heart to be clean. I want it to be pure. I want to pray and know that I have the ear of God when I pray. And when I stand praying, forgiveness is the first, not faith. Forgiveness is the first issue. When you stand praying, believe. Have faith. When you stand praying, forgive. The attitude of the heart is the foundation for the legal use of faith. And if we haven't forgiven men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you yours. That's why in the pattern prayer for all prayer, forgive us our trespasses contingent on what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. People would rather go just keep trying to build their faith to the point of getting what they want instead of getting their heart conditioned to have what God wills. And His primary will that exceeds everything else after you become a Christian is in Romans 8 and verse 29. 28, man, we grab that. But we rarely go to the next verse, so we take it out of context. Romans 8:28 is the knot at the end of the rope. Somebody said when you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And the next verse reveals His purpose for every child of God, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Wow. You mean God wants me more like Jesus? Yeah. In fact, He wants you just like Jesus. It'll be a progressive work until He comes. But when He comes, we're going to know Him as He is. For we shall be like Him in every respect. Some people hadn't made any progress while waiting for Him to come. They'll unfriend you. They'll quit you. They'll drop you like a hot potato. Because they don't love with His kind of love. And the reason is because they have not received his kind. It'll humble you to realize that you are loved that much. It'll make your heart melt toward God. It'll make you want to seek him. It'll make you want to pray. It'll make you call upon him. Because just talking with him becomes a joy. Not just making a petition because of a desperate need, but just talking with him. One of my dad's favorite songs. One of his favorite songs. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Part of prayer is not petition. Part of prayer is fellowship with God. Amen. The love of God is the basis for your faith. Without it, you will not believe that he's a rewarder. You got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we seek him when we spend time in fellowship prayer. And during the course of that fellowship, we make our petitions known. Amen. But if there's no fellowship relationship with him, I've got a preacher friend that's on a board of evangelism, a major Pentecostal denomination. He used to preach for us. Some homecomings we had, he preached for us. And I saw him preaching the other day. I went online. Boy, was he old. I mean, he... You know, I remember him when he came and preached for us 20 years ago when I was a younger man. You should have seen me 20 years ago. I'm going to ask him to bring a slide presentation. And he was preaching on cast your cares upon the Lord. Quit worrying. Quit fretting. Don't let fear dominate you. It's a good message. I'm enjoying the message till he did this. He took I may need this. So, Pamela, I'm going to throw it to you so you can give it back to me. Amen. She'll kiss the dog but won't drink on the lips and won't drink out of my glass. So maybe I can get this back. She will. She goes, you want to sip this? Oh, no. He did this to illustrate. Bad illustration. I love him, but it's a bad illustration. It don't work that simple. Cast your care on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. Just take it. He wadded up a piece of paper and he cast it on the Lord. You didn't catch it, sugar. I just keep throwing it. She just keeps missing it. No, there it is. Hand sanitizer, pretty quick. Don't touch your eyes or your mouth. And he just threw that wadded up piece of paper as if we could just do that. I wish it worked that way. Here's how it works. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer or allow the righteous to be moved. I looked at the word cast and it didn't mean just throw it over there. I have no trouble. I have no problems. All I got is answers. What did the math book say to the English book? You have any idea? I've stumped the mathematician. Head of the math department. don't even know what the math book said to the English book. You want to know what he said? Man, have I got problems. We all have problems. We all have pressures. Cast thy burden. You know what cast means? It doesn't mean to just throw it as if it don't exist anymore. It means to roll it over onto another. That means you've got to be walking close enough to someone you trust enough that if you can't take it any further, you can just roll it over onto that person because you trust that they will carry it, and if need be, they will carry you too. Everybody say, roll it over onto another. Changes the meaning of cast. Cast means throw it away. No, roll it onto another means I need to be in enough fellowship relationship with Christ that I can trust him with that thing that's weighing me down, that I can let it go. Hallelujah. That I can give it to God and come out from under that burden. Hallelujah. And be free. I'm a happy preacher today. Not because I don't have problems, pressures, burdens that come. I'm concerned about what's happening in the world. But if I get under it, if I get under it, I can't pray for it. I can't be an example. I can't let other people know there's hope in God. There's hope in Christ. There's no hope in the rest of it. But there's hope in Him, and I have this hope. And it's real. But if I'm under the burden, I can't represent that. I've got to cast my burden on the Lord to be sustained by the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 puts it this way. Casting your care upon Him, stimulated by what? Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. It's receiving that love enough to trust Him enough to give Him and trust Him with that is weighing you down. It's the counterpart to the psalm that says, cast your burden, the old covenant rather. And I love the Amplified as we close. Casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all on Him, because He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. Praise God. And where and when do we do that? In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. That's some good news. And if you don't give it to God, guess what? You walk out of here with the same sour puss look that the world has without hope and without God. You blend with the world, not because you're compromising with some sin, but because you're not giving that to God so you can come out from under it. Can you say, man, when God's people get unburdened and the Holy Ghost gets unquenched and ungrieved, we're going to have a flow of God. In fact, out of your belly and mine shall flow rivers of living water, springing up unto everlasting life. And that will spring up not just in our testimony, but when we go to pray. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'll pray with my understanding, and I'll pray with the Spirit. And it said, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Can you say, man, praying in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. I got down to pray last night, came to an impasse, to a point I didn't know what else to say, what else to pray. So He took over, and I just relaxed and let Him do the talking. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a time to just let Him do the talking. I will sing with my understanding, and I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding, but then I'll also give way to the Holy Spirit, because we don't always know how to pray as we ought, but He always knows exactly what the will of God is in any situation, for He searches the deep things of God. Hallelujah. But I felt a release in my spirit. I felt peace. I felt power. Because I'm not praying by myself. Let me read this to you as we close. This second, how many closings is this? I get four or five. Which one is this? Second or third? Three. You could have said four. We'd have been almost done. But thank you for being honest today. How many of you ever heard the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? Amen. It was written at the turn of the century. It was written by a man who had went through many bouts with deep depression. You see, if we don't know how to release that burden in prayer to God. How many of you ever heard the song, Leave It There? Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If we trust and never doubt, He'll surely bring us out. Take your burden to the Lord and what? We haven't given it to God. If we come out of the prayer closet, the prayer room, the prayer place, and we're still under the burden. When you give it to God, you come out from under that. You roll it over onto Him, and you know that He's got your back. He's got your six. So this man that went through deep bouts with depression, even to the point of considering suicide. He didn't do it, but he was that low. But he found a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's no, in a reference Bible, there'll be a star when it's prophetic of Jesus. There's no star by this. It's about a real deal, honest to goodness friend. That'll love you when you're not lovable. Amen. That'll love you when you fail them. That'll still love you and forgive you anyhow. There is a friend, and it's rare. And if you have one of those kind of friends, hang on to them. They're hard to find. Can you say amen? But there is such a friend that sticks. And of course, Jesus is that kind of friend. And what is a real friend, a real genuine friend that won't unfriend you ever? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For a friend loveth at all times. A friend don't unfriend you. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yes, sir. Hurts to be unfriended, doesn't it? Hey, amen. I didn't look to see unfriended me. I'm sure some people did, but and they still do. Look around. Amen. Many people can't be here, of course, but I've been unfriended for many times over 50 years. Y'all are still here, and I appreciate you. My wife's still with me. Getting ready to celebrate how many years? 61? 61, May the 18th. Going to take her to Mickey D's. Tell them to... That's McDonald's for you unhip people. Amen. Tell them to supersize everything because nothing is too good for my fox. Put on your high heel sneakers. We're going out tonight. You never heard about high heel sneakers anymore. She don't wear high heels anymore. Be taller than me. This guy that had been through so much found a friend. And he found a way to lean on that friend and release his faith and trust in that friend. Christian singer, what was her name? Mandisa. Passed away at 43. Is it 43? 47 years old, deep, dark valleys of depression, but always looked up for help from the Lord. I'm a little leery of people that's never been way down. Of developing their faith to such a hyper level that it, to be way down would be a shameful thing, because I'm right up here in faith. I mean, one of those preachers was in a Christian bookstore and sneezed and had to get a handkerchief out because green, yellowishy green stuff started coming out his nose. And since he preached perfect faith and perfect everything, people looked at him when he sneezed like, "What? Why didn't you rebuke that cold?" Anyway, why don't they believe God for that offering without soliciting us? Anyway, just don't unfriend me, please. And you know what he did when he caught their eye? Somebody that was there said, he said, "I'm being healed of a cold." I thought, you may be being healed of a cold, but you better catch that stuff before it gets on the books in here. And I'm going down the other aisle while that stuff coming out of your face. Because you still got it till it's gone, old hoss. And all this confession stuff don't change what you're experiencing. We live in a faulty body. We live in a fallen world. We got a faithful Father who said, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me." So come to me. Pray to me. Release your faith in prayer, not just standing on the word. Yes, you stand on it after you pray, but you can't stand on nothing till you pray. And so the devil wants you not to pray. Here's what this man wrote. He said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear, share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Here's the unfriend part. "Do thy friends despise, forsake thee?" Come on, it don't feel good, does it? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there, a hiding place, because he heals the brokenhearted. Can you say, man, he puts oil and wine in those wounds? Hallelujah. And we can still walk in love, and we can walk in forgiveness. We can walk in faith. I want to close with this. This is a, which one? Fourth? It's worth it. Joe McKeever, I don't know if he penned all of this, but I like it. When you don't know how to pray, when you don't know how to pray, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So that's no excuse for not praying. Holy Spirit knows how. Listen, when you don't know how to pray, pray anyway. Why should I? Because his eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. If God is listening, let it stimulate us to pray. When you don't know how to pray, pray anyway. Ignorance is no excuse. When you don't feel like praying, oh, you're getting it. That, you're good. Depression is no excuse. In fact, you need to pray more. When dullness sits on you like a vulture and you can't muster enough enthusiasm to change channels. Boy, this guy's he reading our mail. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Boredom is no excuse. When you see no need to pray and no reason to intercede for those about you, recognize this is a sign of impending danger, and blindness is no excuse. When you've grown spiritually lazy and feel that you'll never be able to pick up your Bible and read it the way you once did, laziness is no excuse. When you don't understand what the big deal is about prayer and you think it's overrated because it never did you much good, immaturity is no excuse. When you're too tired to remember your own name and you know God will understand if you don't pray because you're just too fatigued and wore out with it all, fatigue is no excuse. When you're embarrassed to be back before God confessing the same sins and admitting the same failures, come on. Hallelujah. We're going to get a hold of this thing. It is, at some point, it's going to get a hold of us. Somebody in this room is going to cast your burden on the Lord. You're going to come out from underneath it. Amen. You're going to see that the devil's going to see he was getting to you, but he's not getting to you anymore because you took it to the Lord in prayer. You left it there. You gave it to God. God's got it and you don't. And you can represent a mighty king and a wonderful kingdom in this world that is so burdened down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you've been unfaithful and you know it, you feel that burden of guilt that makes you want to run and hide under the porch. While you're praying, ask forgiveness. Amen. And pray anyway. Sin is not an excuse. Where sin abounds, there's grace. If we confess our sin, He's faithful to forgive our sin. Don't let the devil pin it on you. Get rid of it. There's a place at the foot of the cross where you can plead the blood and God will forgive you. Then he said, we can bless ourselves immeasurably by rescuing our prayer life from bondage to our emotions and circumstances. There is no time, no conditions in which prayer is not necessary, not helpful, and not the right thing to do. So let us pray anyway. Hallelujah. 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 God loves you. Will you let Him love you? Will you let Him love you? Will you let the cross have more influence in your life than your emotions? Than your emotions. I grew up with a put down my whole life. I never had the support. I was praying for my dad when I was 12 years old. I didn't have his support. He had a nervous breakdown. He was full of fear. They wanted to give him shock treatments. My mother refused to allow them to. That was way back when they did all these crazy things. Lobotomies, everything else to get you out of. It was a bad time. I remember sitting on the back porch holding my dad's hand when I was 12 and praying for peace in his heart and in his mind. Not because I had developed some great faith. And I just... childlike faith believed that God was good. I just believe He was good. I believe that He cared enough to hear when we talked to Him. That's simplistic. There's no great revelation. And yeah, there is. God is good. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I was put down my whole life. It marked me. I wanted acceptance. I tried in everything. I wasn't a Christian when I went to work to support my family, but I wanted so bad to not be put down, ridiculed, or criticized like I grew up, that I worked harder than anybody else, and they loved it. They thought I was super dedicated to my job, and I wasn't super dedicated. I did a super job because I couldn't take the criticism. I was bivocational. I found myself doing this. Do it as unto the Lord. Yeah, not unto men, but not do it to try to get somebody to applaud you instead of put you down. Wrong reason. went in Tampa Electric, got out on a line crew. There was one line crew nobody wanted on because that foreman was mean. The linemen were mean. It was a hard day to work on that crew. So I thought, now I am slotted to go out with that crew. Ungodly, impatient, hungover from the weekend, cussing and fussing crew. And I'm going on that crew. John Miller, I'll never forget him. They called him Miller the Man Killer. Because he'd work you to death. You break for lunch, you got 30 minutes. Not a gnat's eyebrow past it, just like the Baptist getting out of church. Not a gnat's eyebrow past 12. Oh, you know it's true. Don't unfriend me if you're a Baptist. Biggest issue in the church for the pastor, get him out by 12. I could never make a good Baptist minister, would I? Anyway, no, definitely not. And I thought, Lord, here I go. I'm going to be tested, I know. I know what I'm going to do. Because I was on a crew that was smooth. I had two men that prayed. We prayed together. I was in a sweet heart place at my job. We prayed together every day before we went out to work. Church of Christ, Sunday school teacher, and a Baptist senior teacher had 60 seniors in his class. And somehow we didn't have World War III. We prayed. We recognized each other as brethren. Doctrines were different, but at the foot of the cross, we had found a common ground. And we prayed for one another. We prayed for the job. The job went smooth, and they come and got me off that crew and put me on that crew with a bunch of wicked, ungodly people with Miller the Man Killer. So I makes up my mind. It's only one day. Only one day. I can get through one day by the grace of God. Give me grace. I'll get through one day. And I'm going to work so hard today that they won't find nothing to holler at me for. And I did, and nobody hollered at me all day because I was Johnny on the spot. I sweated through the back of my shirt and sweat run down. Actually had salt stains on my jeans from sweating, and it leaves salt stains on there. I thought the bear was going to get me. You know what bear caught means? It doesn't mean that a bear catch. It means that you got heat stroke. Bear's caught. The bear's going to get you. Bear almost got me, but I got through the day. Can't wait to get back with my two brothers where we pray and we have God's blessing. And you know what? Foreman Miller, the man killer, he said, Robert, you did such a good job today, son. I'm going in there right now and ask them to put you on my crew. Oh, Lord, Lord, what have I done? I should have messed up big time. Let them holler at me and get me off of this crew. 6 months I was tested. 6 months I had to pray every single day. My prayer life developed. I actually kept enough money, and we didn't have no extra money, but I had enough money put back. I told my wife, if I remember, I told her, I said, listen, before I blow my top, lose my testimony, no matter where we are in Hillsborough County, I will call. We didn't have Uber or any of those. I will call a taxi to come and get me. I won't even go back to the yard. I'll just say, come get me. I'll just walk away, find a place to where there's back then they had to pay telephones. I didn't have no iPhone. No, I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't even have a beeper. But I'm going to pray. And I had the only car that, back in the yard. I said, honey, if it gets to me, if it overwhelms me, then I'm going to call a cab. And I'm coming home. Find me another job. I'm not going to lose it out here. I'm just going to run like crazy. But you know what I did? I prayed for grace. Now, if you're praying for grace to help in the time of need, don't be surprised if he doesn't give you the grace to help instead of taking you from the pressure. Thank you for the hearty amen. Oh, don't tell me you don't want to run. We've all wanted to run. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They find safety. I spent 6 months. Boy, it was rough. And it was the last 6 months with Tampa Electric before I went into full-time ministry. Gave up the security of that job to be out here on faith. I remember the last day and realized why I was on that crew with all of those real hard-drinking, cussing, fussing people. Last day, I'm standing in front of my truck, the line truck that I drove. And they all gathered around me. And the foreman said, "Robert, we hate to lose you." And I thought, "You ought to. The way I worked out here for you, you hate to lose me. I don't hate to go." I didn't say that. He said, "I hate to lose you." And all those linemen gathered around me. They said, "We hate to lose you." It wasn't about the job and the work. He said, "I bet you prayed for us, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir. Every single day." I thought, "And for me, too." Amen. But I did pray for them. And it got real quiet. I felt Jesus. I felt Jesus there. And they got serious. And nobody walked away. And, you know, if you don't believe in the resurrection, just be at a job at quitting time and you'll see people come alive. Nobody is headed for the time clocks. Nobody's moving. Not one of them moved. And they stepped closer. And they said, "Please don't stop. Don't stop praying." And I realized that's why God put me in the briar patch. Just like old Brer Rabbit. That's why he put me on that crew. Amen. They saw something that grace, nothing but grace, allowed them to see. They saw someone with faith in God, with trust in God. Hallelujah. That didn't retaliate when they cussed at me and fussed at me. Oh, did I want to. Brother Taylor, I'm little like you, but I'm wiry. And I dare say there was a time in your life back in BC. Did you grow up saved, or did you get saved at some point? You grew up saved. Okay. So BC don't apply to you. Okay. Jimmy, did you grow up saved, or did you get saved? BC, could you clean a clock and a plow? I'm not going to ask you, son. I know. Sons of thunder, no doubt about it. I didn't care if I lost. It didn't make no difference if someone was bigger. All I wanted was to hit them one time. Just one good, and it's worth the beating. Amen. Hallelujah. Not really, but anyway, it helped. God will give you grace. God will give you mercy. God will take you through. Pray, pray, pray. And we'll see the hand of the Lord move mightily. Will you stand your feet today? Our time is gone. I'm glad you stayed with me and didn't unfriend me. Glory to God. Did you get something out of this service? Are you inspired to pray? Well, while you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, while you're praying for their elections coming up, while you're praying for all the things around the world, pray for me too. Pray for me that utterance may be given and that we can reach people that will respond to the gospel. For the time is short, the hour is late, and we're not trying to compete with other churches for heads in a building, but for hearts for Christ and souls for eternity. that we might plunder hell and populate heaven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Have we got time for this song?